everybody. This is Courtney, and you are listening to Murder Porn. Yay! Welcome. So, something that you're going to notice, obviously, real big obvious, Allison is not with me today. So, I am a bad advocate for missing children and did not realize that tomorrow, which will be May 25th, is National Missing Children's Day in the United States. So seeing as how I talk about missing children a lot on my TikToks, Allison thought it would be a really cool idea for me to put together a mini episode for you guys. So I'm really glad that she made me aware that tomorrow was National Missing Children's Day. Yeah, so this is very impromptu, so please bear with me on this one. Also, I am using our old microphone, so it might not be the best quality, and don't be alarmed if you hear background noises. I am on a main floor recording right now at 6:30 in the evening, so if you hear anything, that is probably my family. And also, my daughter is in the room staring at me right now. So we kind of have a little visitor here with me today. So I kind of do have a co-host. She's waving. So she's here with me today. So as I said, this is going to be a mini episode for missing children, for National Missing Children's Day. I'm going to be talking about two missing children's cases and also giving you guys a little bit of information on missing children within the United States as well. So let's just get on into it. Okay, so as I said, I'm going to be doing two missing children's cases today. All of them have been covered on my TikToks before. And honestly, they were just ones that I picked out because they have completely 100% stuck with me. Like, in all of the kids that I've talked about, these are the ones that have really, really, really stuck with me. So the first one today is Michael Vaughn. And Michael Vaughn, known as Monkey, was 5 years old when he went missing from Fruitland, Idaho on July 27th, 2021. He was last seen at 6:30 p.m. around 9th Street and South Arizona Avenue. So on the night that Michael went missing, Michael's mother was at work that evening, and his father was at home with him, and also a younger sibling as well. So his father that night, Michael was in the living room. His father walked away in order to change a diaper and then to order them pizza for dinner. And in that time frame that he was doing all of that, Michael slipped out the front door. Michael was seen walking through the neighborhood, kind of roaming around, and he was seen by multiple neighbors. At one point in time, he did go to a neighbor's house and ask if their children can play with him. And that person said no and told him to go home. Now, from my understanding, this person sort of watched him walk partly home and then like went back inside of their house. When the father realized what was going on, the father went out and was searching for Michael, but could not find him. And from my understanding, about 7:15 that evening, they called law enforcement because they realized they weren't finding Michael. Initially, Michael was believed to have just been a wanderer. They think that he just wandered off. So they did searches around the home for months, really, like extensive searches. Now, I know a lot of people have really pointed the finger at Michael's dad. So if you watch interviews with Michael's family, it's primarily his mother that does interviews, because Michael's father has, when I say that they've pointed the finger at him, they've accused him of murdering Michael. Which, from my understanding, that would not be possible because they had the other sibling there, as well as they do have like footage of Michael or Michael's father searching for Michael. That is like per a Facebook post I saw from Michael's father's sister that says this. So yeah, they did extensive searches of the area. They did this for months, and then in November of 2021, so how many months is that? So this originally happened in July. Law enforcement came out and said that they actually believed that this was now a case of child abduction. Initially, they posted two different men and two different cars that they were looking for information on, believing that they were possible, like, people of interest, or the people in the cars were people of interest. And they were wanting to clear these people. And the last update that I have, which was from March of 2022, the white Honda Pilot has not been identified. So I'm not even going to get into like the other men and the other car. So they're still looking for the owner of a white Honda Pilot that was seen in the area at 6:47 p.m. So Michael was last seen wearing a blue Minecraft shirt and black boxer briefs with green flip-flops. He is a white male, as I said, 5 years old, 3'7", 50 pounds, blonde hair, and blue eyes. And I do know that his mother has a TikTok. I do follow it. You can see some really good videos of Michael. It's just a really sad story because, as I will get into in a little bit, because they didn't initially believe that he was an abduction, he did not get an Amber Alert, which is really, really sad. Also, I mean, I don't know. I don't even think he would have qualified for an Amber Alert. Because they probably didn't have any information like on a car or a potential abductor at that time. So there is a $52,000 reward for any information leading to finding Michael. And you can send any tips to findmichael@fruitland.org. And we are going to be posting the picture of Michael, as well as pictures of the other boy that I'm going to be talking about in a little bit, on our Instagram. Okay, so if you're from the United States, you've probably heard of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. If you're not, I'm just going to quickly explain it to you guys. But the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children was founded in 1984 by John Walsh, and it's a private nonprofit organization that serves as the national clearinghouse and resource center for information about missing and exploited children. In the last 37 years, they've run a toll-free hotline that's 1-800-THE-LOST, and it's received more than 5 million calls, and they've circulated billions of photos of missing children. Also, within the United States, there is something called an Amber Alert. And I did like kind of a mini series about it on my TikToks. But Amber Alerts were formed after a child named Amber Hagerman from Texas was abducted and unfortunately found dead after her abduction. And after that, local broadcasting agencies kind of came together to create a more effective alert system for alerting out missing children in the area, like not specifically just missing children, abducted children in the area. From that period of time, more and more states have adopted the Amber Alert system, and it's pretty much it's nationwide. There is 86 Amber Alert plans within our United States. There's particular guidelines that must be followed for an Amber Alert, and that's all set forth by the Department of Justice within the United States. Now, as I said, Amber Alerts are for only abducted children, and you also have to fall into other criteria as well. So they have to have enough information give out to the public in order to find this missing child. So usually you have to have a really good description of the missing child, obviously. You have to have the abductor information, like in description, as well as car information. And depending on the state, they have to be 17 years or younger. So we do have that. Now, some states have like a secondary alert system that allows for alerting for missing children that might not fit Amber Alert guidelines. So like Indiana, for example, you can have a silver alert. Some states have missing endangered children alerts. And I know Idaho, where we just heard about Michael, they just adopted an endangered missing person alert as well. They didn't have a secondary alert that missing children could fall into. And this was just recent that this happened. So I think it's really awesome that that has happened. Another thing that I have talked about on my TikTok was there was a girl that went missing and was later found dead in Wisconsin. Her name was Lily. A concerned parent, his name is Eric Henry, decided to form a petition to do another secondary alert system called a Lily Alert. And that would be supplement, like you would have an Amber Alert and then you'd have the Lily Alert. So if they don't fulfill Amber Alert criteria, they would fall under a Lily Alert. So unfortunately, if a child wanders or a child runs away or they're not sure that they were abducted, they do not get Amber Alerts. So sometimes, unfortunately, children fall into this crack. I think it's quite interesting that since the adoption of the Lily or the Amber Alert, 1,111 children have successfully been recovered because of Amber, the Amber Alert system. And NCMEC has done other great things, like they have forensic artists. There was like 257 long-term missing children where they've done age progressions. That was just in 2021 alone. They've done over 7,500 since the team began. They've done forensic genealogy. So they've assisted in 21 cases that have been solved through forensic genealogy. They do tons of stuff. So I think that that is really interesting. I know they also do have a hand in sex trafficking, CSAM material, and fighting CSAM material as well. And for those of you that don't know what CSAM material is, it's the more politically correct term now for child porn. It's child sexual assault material. That's what that all means. And there's a real push within the United States to start using the term CSAM instead of CP or child porn, because that implies that there was some sort of consent, and there obviously wasn't. So I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of information. And now we are going to go to our next case, which will be Cody Bigsby. Yet again, this is another one that I have talked about on my TikTok, and this is another one that's really set really hard with me, but I also, like, found out about his case literally the day after it happened, so I've literally been following along since he disappeared, basically. But Cody Bigsby was a 4-year-old boy. He's from Hampton, Virginia. His father reported him missing on January 31st, 2022. So his father reports that he was last officially seen at approximately 2 a.m. in the morning, obviously in the morning, a.m., but approximately 2 a.m. When he saw him in his bed asleep. He said he woke up the next day around 9 a.m. and Cody was not there. He went missing from the Buck Row Point apartment townhomes in Hampton. So he said he was last seen wearing a black outfit with Spider-Man sandals. Now, they did extensive searches of the area throughout that day. They brought Cody's dad in for questioning. Cody's dad's name is Corey. And from my understanding, they also asked him to do a polygraph test that day as well. Now, I don't know what they found really so much on with what had been going on with Cody and the father, and I guess there was also other children in the home as well. Basically from the get-go, Hampton's police chief Mark Talbot was saying that the parents were really the key in all of this. And he later did go on to say that Cody's dad, Corey, was a person of interest. Very quickly, a lot of information did come out about Cody's dad, including that he was abusive in 2018 to Cody's mother, including like threatening to kill her. So Cody is not like the only child to have gone missing in that area either. And so I know that this, I was hearing a lot about this on my TikTok, that this was bringing up a lot of thoughts about 2019 when Tomlin went missing. And they were actually searching at one point of time around the steam plant in Hampton, which really did bring up a lot of feelings because that's where they found Noah in 2019, and he was unfortunately found dead. Cody's father later goes on to be arrested. Cody is still not found, but Cody's father did get arrested later, and that's because they found that in as late as December 2021, that Cody's father was leaving his children at home, these young children. From my understanding, I can't remember exactly the ages because I did this like really quick and wasn't looking up ages, but I think the oldest one was like 5. And he was leaving these children at home without a way to contact them. And he just basically was saying that it was because it was too hard to take these children out with him. So he was leaving these children at home, and so he was essentially arrested on counts of neglect. I believe it was like 7 counts of neglect. So, and he's been held in prison since he was arrested. He's had 3 bond hearings. They've all been denied, and that's because Corey, hopefully I'm not like mixing up Cody and Corey. Corey has a military background as well, and he was charged with going AWOL. So that seems to be primarily the reason as to why they've kept him in jail. Now, I know also at one point in time, it became like really frustrating to hear that the police chief came out and said that there was some mishandling in this case. Because when they were interviewing Corey, he was asking for a lawyer, and he asked for a lawyer twice Which in the United States, like, once you ask for a lawyer, all questioning stops and you have to give this person a lawyer before you can continue to question this person. So he asked for a lawyer twice, and the investigator didn't do what he was supposed to do. So that was like something unfortunate that happened in this case. The police chief did say that, you know, they didn't need the information that they had gotten out of him during that period of time because they can't use it in court anymore. But they didn't need that information to have a case against him. So that was good, at least. And most recently, Cody's father, Corey, retained a new lawyer who has basically sent out cease and desist letters to the police department, the local police departments, basically because they feel that in the things that they're saying about Cody's case could potentially harm a jury trial, particularly in the neglect case, it's because that is all, at this point in time, he's only being held for neglect. So Cody is unfortunately still missing. There have been a couple updates that seem to have indicate that he may have been, I mean, you got to read between the lines here on this one, and this is just speculation, that maybe he's been gone for longer than January, because police are wanting information about if he's been seen in December, in November. Like, if you saw him between these dates, do you have any sort of video, ring security cameras? So they're wanting a lot of that information. So, I mean, if you read between the lines, unfortunately, it's really sounding like maybe that he's been gone for longer than we think. Cody is still missing. Some information about Cody is that he is a 4-year-old black male, 3 feet tall, weighs 60 pounds. He's got black hair and brown eyes. And as I said, he was last seen, according to his father, wearing black clothing with Spider-Man flip-flops. If you know anything about Cody, please call the Hampton Police Department. The number is 1-757-727-6111. Or you can also call 1-800-THE-LOST as well. So that's the story about Cody. And Allison and I have kind of been talking, and we're kind of throwing around the idea of talking about a missing child, just a short brief about a missing child or a missing person after every podcast, just to raise awareness. Pictures and missing posters will be posted on our Instagram. Our IG is MurdP Podcast, so MURDP Podcast. You can find us also on TikTok. I'm on TikTok. My name is Courtney_Ann1.0. Allison has an Instagram. It's Allison_Wonderland. And Wonderland, the O is actually like a zero. I have an IG as well. Courtney_Ann0.1. And then we also have an email, which is murderpornpodcast@gmail.com. And then we also have a website, which is murderpornpodcast.podbean.com. But please go check out our IG so you can see the pictures of these missing children. Please like, follow, share, subscribe. It means the world to us when you subscribe to us. And follow us and just share us, all of that fun stuff. You can find our podcast We're at Spotify, Podbean, Amazon, and Google. Also, feel free to leave us a comment on our Podbean website as well. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll be talking to you next week. I have a pretty good one coming up. It will be released Friday morning. So I'll see you next time. Bye.